In the movie When Harry Met Sally, Sally Albright orders a piece of pie in a restaurant, saying, "I'd like the pie heated, and I don't want the ice cream on top. I want it on the side, and I'd like strawberry instead of vanilla if you have it. If not, then no ice cream, just whipped cream, but only if it's real. If it's out of the can, then nothing." The waitress asks, "Not even the pie?" And Sally responds, "No, I'll want the pie, but then not heated." In the movie, that particular brand of fussiness is part of what endears her to us. We humans are a varied lot, from people who just grab a chunk of pie into their hand and gobble it down, to people who are very particular about every little element of their food. The Kirtland's warbler is rather the Sally Albright of the bird world. It nests in areas of pine, but not just any pine. Kirtland's warbler must have jack pines, and it wants them in stands over 80 acres in size. The jack pines must be growing on well-drained soil, and not just any well-drained soil. The birds want what's called grayling sand, which has very low humus content, so water percolates right through and nests don't get flooded. And Kirtland's warblers won't accept just any old jack pines. The trees must be no younger than about 5 years old and no older than about 20 years old. The warblers nest on the ground beneath the pines and need the trees to be large enough for their bottom branches to provide protection. They stop using the trees altogether when they've lost their lower branches. Ideal habitat for Kirtland's warblers was historically found within a large swath of the northern part of Michigan's Lower Peninsula. That precise habitat is rather forbidding for us humans. The low nutrient content of grayling sand makes it inappropriate for agriculture and for manicured lawns both. There had always been plenty of jack pines the right age in that area of Michigan, where forest fires occurred rather frequently due to the dry conditions. Jack pine cones do not open to release their seeds until they're exposed to the extreme heat of fires. So they're among the very first plants to pop up after a forest fire. Unfortunately, decades of forest management that included fire suppression severely limited new growth of jack pines. So by 1975, there were slightly fewer than 200 singing males. Michigan designated the Kirtland's warbler the bicentennial bird. Researchers censusing the species' entire known range managed to find just about exactly 200 singing males in the bicentennial year. Only 167 singing males were found in the census at the species' low point in 1987. Kirtland's warbler was our rarest endangered songbird except for Bachman's warbler, which is now extinct. Thanks to the Endangered Species Act, foresters started managing Michigan's jack pine forests for Kirtland's warblers, using fire as the primary tool to ensure that there were plenty of jack pines the right age. Unfortunately and tragically, a fire in 1980 went out of control, destroying 40 homes and killing a young Forest Service worker. The burn obviously had to change some of our approaches to management in the area, but by the late 80s, that burned-over area provided so much appropriate habitat that combined with brown-headed cowbird removal, the Kirtland's warbler population started growing. In 1993, the census found 485 birds, more than double the low of 6 years earlier. And now the population includes over 2,000 pairs, so many that some individuals had to move out beyond the species' original narrow range to claim any territory at all. Now we have a few nesting pairs in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and in Ontario and Wisconsin. As long as we can ensure the continuation of appropriate habitat for Kirtland's warblers and make sure cowbirds don't wipe out their reproduction, the Sally Albright of the bird world should continue to thrive, a true success story for the Endangered Species Act. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.